Go Glow Health, a podcast that will help us understand our health better. I'll talk to experts who will demystify topics like stress, fertility, nutrition, and much more as we take steps to become the healthiest version of ourselves. Since being diagnosed with cancer in my 30s, I made it my priority to educate myself on my health. I discovered creating healthy habits and investing in yourself can lead to wonderful things. I'm so proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by ReproMed. ReproMed understands how daunting it can be to navigate your fertility journey, so it's their mission to put their patients at the center of everything they do. Their world-class team of specialists offer the expertise, empathy, and compassionate care needed to relieve your concerns and guide your decisions. With clinics in Galway, Dublin, Drogheda, and Kilkenny, they are never far away and will do all they can to help you start your family. Check out repromed.ie for more. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Good Glow Health season 2. I have been so excited for you to hear this episode with the amazing Kate Gaffey. I first met Kate last year. She came on to the Good Glow and told her personal story, but today she's here to talk about her work. She is an amazing woman who understands women, and today she's here to talk to me about so many things. There's so many aha moments in this podcast, from wisdom about our menstrual cycles and how we feel on each week. And actually, since Kate explained all of this to me, I have noticed this week that I am in my autumn phase, and that is why I'm a little bit more tired. I'm definitely getting straight to the point this week. And when you listen to this podcast, you will understand what I mean when I say that. And I think it's so important to get to know ourselves better in order to take better care of ourselves. So if we know, you know, what season we're in, we'll know what we need from that week, and it can only lead to more benefits for ourselves. Another part of this podcast that I loved was when Kate said that we should find what brings us joy, because finding what lifts you up and finding what lights up your soul is so powerful. And I have to agree with her that finding what brings joy to your life can be life-changing. And this is why there is a week on joy in the Good Glow Wellness Program, because joy is a huge part of my journey over the last 3 years, leaning towards joy, finding out what actually brings joy to my life, and making time for joyful moments. So we got the amazing Dr. Clodagh Campbell, the wellness psychologist, to talk about joy in our program. And I hope that people will learn more about it when they do the course. So you can check out more at thegoodglow.ie/course. I also loved when Kate spoke about giving yourself 1% more and how much that can make an impact on your day. So I'll get into it now. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave me a review, and I will talk to you next week. Kate, I am so excited to have this conversation on the Good Glow Health today. We first met back on the Good Glow last year, but thank you so much for coming on to the Good Glow Health today.
Oh, Georgie, thanks so much for having me back. What a year since the last time we met.
I know. And just for anybody who doesn't remember our podcast where you told your personal story, tell us a little bit about how you got to this point in your life and how, I suppose, you chose this path of wellness.
Well, to keep it really short, I suppose I had no interest in wellness most of my life. I went to college and I started working in the financial sector in a stockbroker's, and I got progressively more disillusioned the longer time I spent there. And then I went traveling and I found yoga, and that was my ticket into really knowing myself. And the more of the well-being work I started to do, the more I started to just adore it. And then I slowly transitioned to working in the wellness space full time since 2014.
Earlier in this season, I spoke to Neil O'Murcu, and he spoke about, you know, he got to a point in his life where he was waking up every day and almost sighing first thing in the morning, or feeling like, how am I going to get through this day? So when you wake up in the morning now, what is the difference to how you felt back then?
It's night and day. That's such a good point, because I haven't had Sunday night fear in an awful long time. And that used to, you know, that feeling on a Sunday evening was real. And then I felt like I was compromising a small piece of myself every day, and also a small piece of my identity. Like, I couldn't really show up and be who I was. Whereas now I feel like I get paid to be more myself. And the more of my true self that I bring to my work, actually, I feel like the deeper it goes and the more engaging it is. And that's been my journey, how to bring my full self in and maybe even allow others to do the same.
Your business, Workplace Wellness, you're going out, well, before COVID, you were probably going into workplaces. Now it's probably all online. But like me as well, you know, when I'm speaking to people in their workplace, you don't want to encourage people to quit their jobs. You know, if people are suffering from stress or burnout, they're not in a position to walk away from their career. What is your advice to them? Is it about balance? Is it bringing in more self-care outside of work? Or what do you say to them?
I think that's it. It's that not everybody wants to go out on their own anyway, nor would it suit them. But it comes down to the small stuff that we do regularly. And for me, this self-care work, this self-acceptance is really all about the tiny things that we can do every day to get to know ourselves better and really treat ourselves with compassion and love and respect. And I find then when we build that deep relationship with ourselves, how we feel, what we need, how we move through the world, the everyday can become a little more joyful and life becomes a little easier to navigate. And that allows people to feel stronger and clearer and better and bring the best of themselves to work and to home.
I think before 2017, I was so focused on work that when I'd get home, I was so tired. I had like nothing left in the tank for me. So when you say there about like valuing yourself and your life and having more compassion for yourself, it really hits home to me. And how can people kind of practice that?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing, which is really important to acknowledge, is that we can't give from an empty cup. And the world needs you in a place of fullness and a place of wholeness. And you're no good to anybody if you're depleted, burnt out, frustrated, or resentful when you go to home or when you go to work. And so I guess for me, it starts with giving to yourself, trying to get yourself into that full place, and then going out into the world and offering your best self. So that self-care doesn't become a really selfish thing that's just about, you know, minding ourselves and that's it. It's actually about minding ourselves so we can bring and gift our best self to the world. And for me, some of my favorite ways to do that really are the most simple. One thing I work on again and again with my clients is finding what brings you joy, finding what lifts you up, finding what lights up your soul. And from that space, making sure you've got some non-negotiables in your self-care strategy. And that's going to look different to everybody. And then like anything, it's just a habit. It's just, you know, starting maybe very small, depending on where you're at, including and integrating something. And once you have that integrated, maybe reaching for something else or adding a little something else in.
And you have, you know, I suppose, taken a leap over the last couple of months and you've left Dublin. And I know so many people are considering that and contemplating that at the moment, you know, moving out of the city into the countryside. And what, tell us about that process for you.
Yeah, well, it was a long process, actually, Georgie. I'd say I was thinking about moving mainly to the west coast of Ireland for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, that dream of surfing every day and being somewhere really beautiful, but always feeling like I couldn't because of work. And then March 2020, just after we spoke, everything changed and all of my work went online. And actually, it's gone so well. I love working online and it gave me freedom. But I took a really long time to reflect about leaving and where I'd go and what I'd do. And instead of going west, I took a little compromise. I went north of Dublin back to where I was originally from. But I've ended in a beautiful little cottage that's less than 5 minute walk to the beach. That's about 15 minutes to my parents and my family and still only an hour from Dublin. So it feels like, at least for now, a really good middle ground. And I find myself on the beach twice a day, most days, sometimes three, with a lot more space and, you know, maybe even a lot more solitude, which is an adjustment. But overall, I think it was one of those heart-led decisions and something I'm really grateful for out of the last year, that I have the capability now to do that and at least try it for a while.
Wow. Did the coast lead your decision? Yeah. Is that where you wanted to be?
Yeah, I have to say it absolutely did. Like on the last podcast, we spoke about sea swimming and a little bit about surfing and all of the joy that the sea has given me over the years. And for me, one of my self-care strategies is those ice cold dips. And when I was in Dublin, it was once a week. And through some of the lockdowns, the beach wasn't accessible, or even when it was accessible, it was minimum half hour there and back. And I do a lot of road trips, usually, especially in the summer, I'm on the road every single weekend. And I really missed that freedom. And with Dublin being shut down, everything was so different. So the sea, you could 100% say that the sea led me here. And one of my friends actually said recently, if you're having a really crap day, the sea makes it better. And if you're having a really good day, the sea makes it better. So you can't lose. And I think about that now every time, even if it's just 5 minute little walk in the evening to close out my day, I'm like, yeah, fresh air and a little bit of perspective as well. It's like some of the worries for me anyway, when I'm just on that big expanse of space, they come into frame, I suppose, and everything seems a little more manageable and I feel a little smaller in this great big world.
Oh, it's so good to hear, and you seem so happy and content. I'm so happy for you. Speak to us a little bit about your workshops, what work you're doing for women at the moment, and you know, who you're meeting along the way.
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. There's a couple of sides. There's the corporate stuff, and that's all about soulful self-care and really bringing the best of ourselves to home and to work. And then my passion project outside of the corporate space is working with women, which is probably what you're more interested in, I think, for this. And I do lots of work around what I might call cyclic wisdom. So for me, that's about refinding a feminine way and giving ourselves space not to have to be the same every day, not to have to strive and push in a world that feels linear. And when I say feminine, like this can include men as well, but a bulk of the work that I do is with women. And so it's beginning to come to an understanding that we're not the same every day, and that our world, our society can be quite linear, expecting us to turn up and be the same person every day on this 24-hour cycle. And it's really recognizing that when we understand that each of us have a unique ebb and flow, we have permission to have days where we need to pull back and rest a little bit more, and then permission to have days where we can be superwoman and do everyone and everything. And we might find that we move through that through a month or even just through seasons in our lives and particular, you know, journeys that we're on at that time. So a lot of my work now is about bringing women in circle, which itself I think is really healing and really beautiful. Connecting in with either the menstrual cycle or the Celtic wheel or some kind of cyclic wisdom, and using that almost as a framework for self-care, and it can be a really good one.
I'm so interested in what you speak about around the menstrual cycle, and it was so eye-opening to me when you started speaking about this, because you kind of spoke and said, you know, when we get to know ourselves better, we can see patterns and we know how we feel on different weeks. And that was something that never even occurred to me before. So can you just talk us through a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. And feel free to cut me off or give me a steer if I get sidetracked. So as women, a lot of us are going through a menstrual cycle. And that's roughly a cycle on average every month, maybe like 29 days, give or take. And through that cycle, we'll move through four different phases. But what I find is a lot of us are kind of maybe grow up to believe that we just get a period and then we move on with our lives, and that that's the cycle, just the few days when we're bleeding. And when we begin to understand that actually our hormones are different every day and that there are these distinct phases in the cycle, we can understand how our energy might ebb and flow through the month. And with that then comes invitations, exploration, self-care, superpowers, things that we can work with. There's a really easy framework to understand the menstrual cycle, which I might share a little bit because it may resonate for some. if we have the time today. And then before I do that, I'd love to just touch on, well, what if I don't have a womb, but I identify as a woman? Or what if I'm postmenopausal and I've gone through all of that? Or anything else where maybe you're not cycling or bleeding every month with a natural cycle, which is what I'll call it at the moment. So I just want to acknowledge that before I start and say that we are all cyclic. You know, there's the sun and the moon, there's the ebb and flow of tides, there's seasons in our lives. And so as I speak, as I go through these seasons, you might feel like, oh yeah, I'm very much in spring now at the moment, or I'm very much in my autumn, or how does that change? So just know that this is applicable to you still, and you might find you still have this dance in your body, even if you're not bleeding every single month.
When you speak about seasons within a month, are you saying that there is like spring, summer, autumn, winter, all within 1 month?
Yeah, how cool is that?
So cool.
I remember the first time I heard it was about 10 years ago, and I was like, what? And I think it's a really lovely framework, and it makes it really easy to understand. So I'd love to speak through some of the seasons and, you know, maybe even if you're listening, whether you're female or not, you know, whether you're bleeding or not, think about what season you put yourself in today in terms of how you feel. So with the seasons for the menstrual cycle, the first season that I'll speak about is actually winter. And winter aligns to when we bleed. So those days where we have our period. And if we think about, okay, what's the invitation of winter in terms of the season? It's colder, it's darker, we might be a bit more introverted, we might want to rest more, we might want to go out less, we might want to eat more warming foods, that whole aspect. So when we bleed, that's our winter season, and that's a time for going inward, for taking really good care of ourselves, for taking rest, and for doing a little bit less. And what happens then after that? So that might be from days 1 to 5 in your cycle, give or take. And every woman is really different, by the way. So hold all of this really lightly. But after that, then we come into our inner spring. And that's the follicular phase of our cycle. And what's happening is that estrogen is rising progressively every day. It's going like up, like a roller coaster. And as estrogen rises, oftentimes we'll start to feel a little better in our bodies. So the spring, actually just like where we're at now in the year, we might see little buds in the trees, the light is coming back, the days are longer, and we might feel a little bit more energized. The same happens in the spring of our cycle. So for the first week or so after you bleed, you might start to feel, for me anyway, I feel plugged in again. I'm like, oh, I'm back. Great, here we go. And it's a beautiful time for creativity and for planning and for doing and for being a bit more outward in the world. So we continue through that trajectory then into the next season, which might be around the second week of your cycle again, give or take. It could be from day, say, 5 to 18, or sorry, day 11 until 18 or 19 or maybe even 20. And that's the time around ovulation. So if you think about ovulation, that's when you release an egg. That's when your body is ready to make a baby. So it makes sense that we might be more sociable. We might want to interact more with people. We might feel more playful. We might be more outgoing. For me, I'm much better to concentrate. I've got loads of clarity. I've got loads of energy. If I'm going to go to the gym and do a personal best, a PB, that's the time to do it. So just like the summer season, where the days are long and life is blooming and blossoming and thriving, there's a lot of energy here. And some women at this point, for me anyway, I do feel amazing, on top of the world. That's your superwoman energy. That's your Beyonce energy. That's your badass energy. Others might feel a little frazzled or a little depleted, you know, depending on how it goes for you. But that's the peak. Ovulation is actually the peak of the menstrual cycle. So that's the peak of our energy. And then what happens is very interesting. The next season, obviously, after that is autumn. And that might be the last 10 days or so of your cycle before you bleed again. Could just be the last week. But what happens with the hormones is that estrogen dips and then it rises again a little bit later, and progesterone comes into play here. And progesterone is the hormone that's going to keep a little baby in your body if you did conceive. And so it tends to slow us down. It's a little more chilled out. It's a little more slow. It's a little more introverted. So our bodies in autumn, just like autumn of the year, think about it. We think about cozy jumpers, hot chocolate, curling up in front of the fire, taking naps. Our bodies are calling for all of that autumn stuff. And it's a really wonderful gift to give yourself at that point in the cycle. Now, when I talk about autumn, I always like to just address this because I think it's really important. PMS. So loads of women, not all women, plenty of women feel a little crap the week before they bleed. And it can go from, you know, really small little irritations to feeling like not yourself at all and a little crazy and a little bit frustrated, to say the least. And I really think that the invitation of autumn is to rest, to pull back. And if we're trying to be superwoman the whole way through the month, if we're trying to be in that Beyonce goddess energy for an entire month, and we're trying to push on through our autumn with that energy, you might feel really tired and depleted and drained. And if you ignore the body's call to slow down a little bit and the body's call to rest a little bit, I believe that that's why a lot of us end up feeling frustrated or depleted or annoyed. So it's just something to watch for. And the other interesting thing, and we may or may not want to get into this today, it could be a conversation for another day, is that there's different embodiments of energy in each phase. So in your winter, you've got your wise woman. So the part of you that's really wise and knows, and you can connect with her. In your spring, you've got your maiden. So like the young, kind of naive, fun part of yourself that's really playful. In your summer, you might have the goddess energy, that mother energy, that all-powerful queen kind of archetype. And in your autumn, if you wanted to, you could align with the wild woman. And the wild woman might be speaking to you in your autumn. She might have some things to say or some things for you to listen to. And that's another cause, I think, sometimes of frustration. Like, for example, if some area of your life isn't working and you feel a bit, oh, and you're getting those little whispers in autumn, but you're pushing on, you might find that your wild woman gets a bit louder. So as well as resting in that autumn season, another nice invitation for any of your listeners, if you want to play with this, would just be to listen to what does the wild woman have to say, or that really primal part of me, or what's coming up at this point. And so what happens in each season affects the next season. So for example, resting in your winter might make your ovulation feel really smooth and give you more energy. Not doing too much in your springtime, taking a nice slow start into your spring, might end up making your autumn a little bit smoother. And there's this whole interplay, which is why it's like a life's work. You know, it's hard to condense this into something that's manageable and easy to listen to, maybe for a podcast. But there are layers and layers and layers to this. And the best part is being a woman, or somebody who bleeds, you get to practice this every single month, and you get to go through this beautiful cycle where you learn more about your body, you learn more about yourself, and you get to understand this. And if you're not going through a cycle where you're menstruating every single month, we all have the opportunity to follow this with nature, with the seasons in the year, and even with the seasons in our life or with the moon. So this cyclic wisdom is available to everybody. And I just really love to emphasize that again.
Yeah, I think it's such an important point because, you know, we're all going through different times, different feelings, different energies. Yeah. So I think it's really important to acknowledge that we're not all the same.
Exactly.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a sec. With everything going on in my life at the moment, I'm honoured to team up with ReproMed this season. I've learned more about ReproMed and what they do over the past couple of years. They pride themselves in taking a personal interest in your care, regardless of where you are on your fertility journey. ReproMed.ie is packed full of information on TSI, IUI, IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and more. A consultation with their team, which you can book on ReproMed.ie, will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a supportive, honest environment. Now, back to my conversation. So how aware are you of what season you're in? Like, is it a big part of your day? How can people become aware of what season they are? Is it a case of writing things down and then mapping it out? Yeah, how do you start?
That's it, exactly. Like any wellness thing that you're taking on, I would say, especially in the beginning, make it as simple and as easy as you can. So how can you be aware? The first day that you get your period, so the first day of your full bleed, is day one of your cycle. And you can begin tracking like that. So the easiest tip, and people love this when I shared it with them, is to pull out your diary and write in your paper diary, if you have one, day one, on beside the date that you get your period, and then continue through your calendar, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up to 28 or 29 or 30 or however long your cycle is. And that's going to give you an immediate framework every time you pull out your diary. Oh, I'll be on day 27 when I'm speaking to Georgie. Like, that's where I am today. And then the other aspect, so if you don't like that, you can maybe use an app, which I know people really enjoy. Clue is one, and there's a few good ones. I don't use any apps myself. So knowing exactly where you are is great. And then beginning to track is a wonderful thing to do. So again, if we were to keep it really simple, maybe just one word every single day. So you might have, you know, cycle day one, I feel depleted. Cycle day 11, I feel elated. Cycle day 19, I feel tired. Cycle day 27, I feel frustrated. And after 2 or 3 months, you get to understand, oh my God, day 19, 20 is always a bit tender. I always need a bit more rest. Or, you know, day 4 or 5, I tend to rush out too fast and then I'm tired on day 7 or 8. And you can start to really understand and work with your patterns. And then even just tracking like that will bring an awareness. And I always believe with the awareness comes an opportunity for acceptance and compassion and love and just that turning in again, that's getting to know ourselves. And then you can go as much as you like with this. So you can just roughly know where you are and have some awareness of the season, and that you might have more energy or less energy, that it might be a good time for doing and giving to others, or a good time for pulling back and giving to yourself. Or you can be like me, like when we spoke last week and set up this call, I was like, oh, I'm going to be on cycle day 27 when I talk to Georgie. Poor Georgie. I'd rather be on cycle day maybe 11 or a cycle day 17 or 19 or something. So this comes into the superpowers in every phase. Had I been talking to you in ovulation, I may have had a lot more energy. I might be a lot more bubbly. I might be a bit more playful even, but I'm coming from 27. So today I'll be bringing in more of a grounded energy, more of a place on where I'm kind of sitting back a little bit. I might be a bit slower. And I might also be, you know, in this wild woman phase, more inclined to just really cut to the truth as opposed to make things really flowery and nice. So each phase will have its own lovely strengths as well. And then over time, you can understand how to work with them. There's one other aspect in this that might be interesting. And I'm just reminding myself now because I'm on day 27. So it might not be ideal. Like, I've got day 27, 28 and 29 coming up this Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm really busy. And that is not ideal in terms of the calendar. You know, the invite might be to pull back and rest. So what can we do in a world that's demanding more from us, and in a space where we're busy and we can't all just go for naps and have cacao and do all the things that we want to do? Well, a really useful thing is to give yourself 1% of what you need. And actually, I'll just say that 1% I learned from Red School, who I also learned the seasonal framework from. They're the women who years and years ago invented that. And you can get an amazing book of theirs called Wild Power. I think it's only right to just credit them. But the 1% rule is about, could you give yourself 1% of what it is that you're needing right now? So knowing that I'm going into these busy days, 27, 28, 29, the end of my cycle, really busy, I've pulled right back on all the non-essential stuff. So any of those things I think I should do, any of those things, you know, that are on the to-do list that aren't really urgent, they're gone. And there's no question of even doing them. It's just, okay, what do you have to do? And then yesterday, I made sure I got as much rest as I could because I was able to take the afternoon off. So you can really look at your calendar and your life and how you're living, and what small things can you give yourself, even though it mightn't be perfect and mightn't be where you want to be. What's the 1% that you can do today that's going to give yourself just a little something? And that's an amazing rule to use if you find yourself like me in your final days of autumn and more overscheduled than you'd like to be. Or if, and this is a classic one, if you're a busy mom or a working parent and you're like, I can't be, you know, going for naps during the day, or I can't do all these things that you're recommending, Kate. what's the 1% you can give yourself? And that really does make a difference. So you mightn't be able to take a day off work, but you might be able to wear really cozy socks and slippers and have nourishing food that's already cooked in advance. Or maybe when you're ovulating, you'll prepare a load of meals so that when you're bleeding, you don't even have to cook. These kind of things that you can really make your own and play with. And it gets to be fun.
Wow, I'm so blown away by that, especially the 1% thing, because when I look back at 12 years of just working so hard, if I had have given myself 1% a day, I wonder what difference that would have made overall. So like, even for example, if I want to meditate and I'm like, I don't have 15 minutes, I don't have 20 minutes to sit here and meditate. But actually, if you even do it for 30 seconds, exactly. 1 minute, that's a gift to yourself. That can transform your day.
Completely.
That 1%.
And that's it. And actually, it's those small, small things. And, you know, with the space of meditation and mindfulness, one of my favorite exercises to give people in the last year is just to set a timer on their mobile, because we all have mobiles, for 60 seconds and to sit in stillness. Like, you don't even have an instruction. I'm not going to ask you to do any particular breath work or any visualization or anything. Just sit quiet for a minute after you come back from lunch or before your next call. And those inputs, I think, are the small things we all need. And when you make these things really easy, you might set the timer for 1 minute and go, oh, that was lovely, I'll do another five. Or maybe that's what you get in your day, and it's a way of grounding, it's a way of coming back. And the simple, easy wins, you know, you can set yourself up really well with that. So yeah, I absolutely love it.
Oh, I love it, Kate. Thank you so much for this. I'm really enjoying it. When it comes to trusting your gut, and I think that's in your wild woman phase, isn't it, where you're trusting your gut, your body may be trying to tell you something. And for lots of us, we kind of ignore that, because I think, you know, as women, we will often put other people's needs ahead of our own. And we're just depleted, and we're just taking from ourselves all the time. We're not filling up our own cup. And, you know, we may feel guilty going to bed with a book because the dishwasher is still running and things need to be done for the next day and whatever it is. So how can we encourage women to trust that little voice in the back of their head that's one telling them to do something for themselves and then actually not feeling guilty about doing it?
I just adore that question. Thank you for naming it. And it's such a common thing, especially with women. So the first is to be able to trust that little voice in the back of our heads. We need to be able to hear it. And if we're really busy and working and going all the time, it's very difficult to hear that wisdom that's coming from your heart or your gut or your body that's telling you something. So if you can, making tiny, tiny quiet moments for yourself and starting really small and including them, and then you'll familiarize yourself with that voice, and then you can really learn to listen to it and to trust it. And then the second aspect that just, you know, popped into my head as you're speaking there is look out for the shoulds. So as women and as people in general, a lot of us are like, I should do this, I should do that, I should do the other. And it's usually a sign that you're going by somebody else's agenda, somebody else's perspective, somebody else's outlook, and you're not really coming back to yourself to see what's important to you. So watch for shoulding. I think it's a line from Sex in the City. Watch from shoulding all over yourself. Don't do that. And it's one of the biggest things I find with women. You know, even women in, I had a call with women in my group last week, and they were all talking about all the things we felt we should do, where we should be, comparison to others, that inner voice that we all have that can be really critical of ourselves, all of these things. And when you find that, try to work around it, or try to at least be aware of it, so that rather than come into a place of I should do this, I should do that, I should do the other, you get to come from a place of what's important to me, what's my value, what's my gut saying, what's my heart saying, you know, and really working with that. And then the last piece, as well as, you know, making time to listen, watching for those shoulds, is knowing that, as I said at the start of the call, the world wants you in your fullness. The world wants you from your best place. We need to give our gifts to the world from a place where we're not depleted, for a place where we are full up. And your family needs you at your best. Like, nobody wants a depleted, resentful, partner or parent. And I know it's really challenging, but the only relationship that, not the only relationship that matters, the most important relationship we have is the one with ourselves. And when you can work with that and come from a really full and kind and compassionate place, you also get to offer that out to the world. You get to bring that compassionate side of yourself to your family, to your colleagues, to the places that matter. And you get to rise up and bring your own amazing brand of power and potency to the world. And I think that that's really important. You don't do anyone favors by coming in exhausted and depleted.
Mm. That's why self-love isn't selfish.
Yes, exactly.
Because,
say it again.
You know, God, this has just been so interesting. I've learned so much. When we talk about, say, we were speaking before we came on, I wrote it down, a womb space,
oh, yes,
for example. Oh, yeah. So we're well used to hearing about man caves. And in these man caves, you know, there's all the things that make men happy, yeah, say. That's a big generalization. But mm-hmm. say, for example, there is a place that has been named mm-hmm. for men to go yep. and have their own private space mm-hmm. and do the things that they love, mm-hmm. whatever that is. Mm-hmm. What can women do? And I said, maybe, you know, is there a womb space? Is there a place where we can go where it kind of reflects what the womb was like? And what can we do when we're in that space? And is that a different space from week to week?
Yeah, how gorgeous, Georgie. And I just want to credit you with creating the womb space as
oh no, I read it. I read it on Goop.
Yeah. It's so good. And I think what a beautiful world if we all had a womb space. And I have loads to say on that. So yeah, like in an ideal world, if we could, how amazing would that be? A space where we can cocoon and mind ourselves. Also, you know, as women, we are actually pretty good at connecting with other women. And so that's why I think it's nice for men to have their men sheds. I don't begrudge them that. But if we can also have a space for ourselves, how amazing would that be? And, you know, we're all spending so much time at home at the moment. It might just be a small corner of the house. Or it might be that you have a beautiful blanket that you just use at a particular time. Or I know some people who put on red sheets at a certain time in the month just because that's their little period cave and that's what they're doing. So again, we could, if you can't create a womb space or a womb room, maybe you'll do the 1%. Another amazing idea is, I really like this actually, to have a little box that's just yours for when you bleed. So for your inner winter. And you might fill it with, like, for example, I always drink one of those puka teas. It's pink and it's got like rose and chamomile and lavender. And you might have a beautiful body oil and you might have some of your favorite chocolate if you're able to avoid eating it through the rest of the month. or an eye mask or, you know, something that's in a beautiful little winter box for you to have at that time. And then, you know, our period can become a delight. And you can, I didn't say this, but when you rest at bleeding, you can awaken to some really powerful insights and wisdom. And so you can encourage yourself to do that then. And as you said, this womb space might look different for every season. So your inner maiden might want to wear, mine always wants to wear makeup and look nice, you know, the goddess might want something else. And the wild woman, you know, she's going to want something different again. So yeah, we could play with something like that, or you could play with a particular room, or you could claim your space. And the word that's just coming to me now is nourishment and nourishing yourself. And also, don't be afraid to ask your sisters, as in the women in your life, for support, because, you know, we're all as cyclic beings, we understand this on a very particular level. And maybe you'll be bleeding, but your bestie will be ovulating and she'll be able to look after you. And you know, back in the day, red tents were a thing where women would come together when they're bleeding in a red tent, and no, they wouldn't do the cooking and wouldn't do the cleaning, and, you know, and all of that aspect. And we don't get away with that now, but it's a nice thing to bear in mind. And then, just as I'm saying, you know, tell your sisters, tell your partners too. In my experience, men absolutely love learning this, even if it's just the seasonal framework and you're like, I'm in my winter, if you could please do the washing up, that would be great. And then in your summer, maybe you'll do a little more. And when they're aware, even in some small way, they absolutely love it. And I think it's a real gift to give everybody, you know, to give people and to, you know, start knowing where you're at and where your friends are at. And I think that, this is a big dream now, Georgie, but if we wake up to this cyclic wisdom in the world, I think the world would be a really different place. And I think it would be a beautiful place to live in.
Wow. And your work is so powerful. And so for the rest of 2021, you're obviously doing workshops online. Do you see more and more people are learning about this and coming to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I have a women's circle called Awaken that I started in February 2019. And at that time, it was meeting on the new moon. And I set it up because I was actually looking for something like that, you know, a women's circle meeting on the moon. And I couldn't find it. And now, oh my God, there are women's circles and groups everywhere. So I just think it's amazing. And then, you know, for me going online, I can reach a lot more people as well. And I think that people are really, you know, tuning into this and it is getting more popular, which is just amazing to see.
It's interesting what you say there about women's circles, because Jamie is actually in a men's circle and he's been in a men's circle for the last year up in the Healing Forest in Kiltearnan. And I know they've lots of workshops on as well. So if there's anyone listening and they feel like maybe the men in their life would benefit from a circle, I know that there's powerful stuff happens when you come together.
100%. And I think, you know, thanks for naming that, because men need it too. Sometimes I talk about this work and people are like, what about us? But yeah, I think really powerful stuff happens when we come together and there's no, in a circle, there's no head, you know, there's no leader as such. And it's a really natural, beautiful way to sit and be seen and be held in space. And I think just that can have powerful impacts for people.
Kate, you're such a gift to the world. Thank you so much for coming on the Good Glow Health today. I just absolutely love everything you do, and I'll put all your details in the episode show notes. So if anyone wants to get in touch, they can.
Thank you, Georgie. Thank you for having me. It was great to be back.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow Health with thanks to ReproMed. If you did enjoy this conversation, I would appreciate so much if you left me a review, and thank you so much for tuning in. This season of the podcast will be brought to you every Monday and Thursday over the next 4 weeks. So thanks again for tuning in, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.